So I invite you to turn with me to Ruth chapter 4. We're going to wrap this series up. And I know we got through most of it last week in this story. But let's kind of give a refresher of where we are so far. Chapter 1. Naomi and then Ruth kind of hit rock bottom. End up as widows. Their husbands, that's not part of the plan, but that's what happens. They end up widows in this land of Moab. So they make a decision. Naomi says, you know, I'm going to head back home to where I belong and where my people are in Bethlehem. And Ruth says, I'm going with you. And so they go to pursue, leave the place where they were in Moab and pursue the one true God of Israel in Bethlehem. In chapter 2, we see that to supply for themselves, because they're widows, they have no income, they're trying to figure things out as they go. Ruth goes to work, and she waits, and she serves. And instead of doing what many women of that time, young women, would have done and or been forced to do, she goes and gleans and ends up in the field of a guy named Boaz, a man of standing, a man of valor. And Boaz invites her for lunch. Some would say a date of some sort, but that's whatever. And he blesses her, and he steps kind of out of the picture. So we're kind of left hanging there at this point. Chapter 3, at the instruction of Naomi, Ruth goes and initiates surrenders and trusts as she puts herself in the path of Boaz in a very real way that I would never, as a dad or as a pastor, recommend. But that's the way she goes about it. And she says, hey, remember me. And she ends up proposing not only marriage, but a deal to provide for her mother-in-law, Naomi, through a kinsman redeemer. In chapter 4, we see that God's goodness happens when they are redeemed by this man, Boaz. And I really want you to hear me when I say all this, because she is restored by the blessings of God and all of the community. And this story, you know, we keep talking about Ruth, and it's very much about Ruth, but this story is just as much, if not in some ways, all about Naomi. And Naomi goes from this widow left, you know, both her kids are dead, her husband's dead, she's left fending for herself, and in the midst of this, she is restored by the blessings of God, and the community comes together and starts rejoicing with her about what God is doing. And it's quite this journey, though. Because when we think about it, you look at where they were in chapter 1, and it's quite different. It's not like it just happened, but it's quite different in chapter 4. And so this morning, I really want to talk to some of you who may feel stuck in chapter 1. And I know I shared a little bit of this last week. But I want you to hear me when I tell you that God loves you. That he cares about you. And that he's with you. He hasn't abandoned you. And I know that for some others, you're not in chapter 1, but you're kind of stuck somewhere in chapter 2, chapter 3, and you're waiting. And I want to encourage you, stay faithful. Stay faithful to God. Keep trusting God. And my prayer is that as you enter into a chapter 4 in your life, you will discover that God had plans for you that are better than you could have ever imagined. That he's good, he's faithful, and he's true to his word. So let's pick up where we left off last week. For those of you who remember, Boaz wanted to redeem Ruth at the end of chapter 3, but he knows there's another relative that's more closely aligned, and so to be proper. He needs to give the chance first to that young man or that man. And the author of Ruth doesn't even give this guy a name. He's called Poloni, Alimony, which is so-and-so. He's a nameless John Doe. Or hey you in American language. And so Boaz goes to the city gate, which is where business is held. And he sits down, and suddenly this so-and-so guy comes, and he says, hey, come on over. And Boaz starts to work his plan and makes a deal. And the guy says, well, I can't do that. And so Boaz says, in front of everybody, I'm going to step up, and I'm going to marry Ruth, and I'm going to redeem Naomi, and I want to provide for them and protect them and bless them in the midst of it. But the thing is, the story isn't over. You know, in a movie, that would be the same scene that it closes on. They'd be walking hand in hand away in a park or something like that, something mushy, as they would say. But it doesn't end there. Because the elders pray this prayer of blessing. These people that have gathered around them at the end of this deal, and they pray, may the Lord make Ruth like the women who from the whole nation, from whom the whole nation of Israel descended. May you prosper and be famous in Bethlehem. And the thing about it is, we have to remember this. Never underestimate what God can do through the power of responding to one prayer. Never stop praying is the better understanding. And so the elders pray, and we see the answer to their prayer in the next verse. It says in verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and the two became one flesh, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Now, in one verse, we see an answer to one prayer that clearly demonstrates how God can take the years of brokenness and hurt and turn it into blessing. And when I say years of brokenness, you have to remember that Ruth and Naomi were experienced at least 10 years of struggle in Moab after the death of Naomi's husband. And so, in other words, sometimes a chapter will last a lot longer than we ever anticipated. And then she made one decision. She decides to go with Naomi, to turn away from Moab, leave all that that she knew was what was quote-unquote normal in her life, and head to the God of Israel and go to Bethlehem. And someone prays this prayer of faith, and the results are dramatic, because one prayer results in a changed life, a changed family, and ultimately a changed legacy that would impact even us to this day. And if you're wondering how that comes about, there's a phrase that we can't miss in here. In Hebrew, it's Yahweh Weyetin, the Lord enabled. It's translated differently depending on who's doing it and what you're reading. As far as the NIV says, the Lord enabled. The English Standard Version translates as the Lord gave. The Common Standard Bible says the Lord granted. The Good News translation says the Lord blessed. But let's get this straight. No matter how we say it, understand and give the Lord the credit. He's a good giving God, a granting God, an enabling God, a blessing God. The Lord enabled. And you may say it differently. You may say, well, the Lord provided, or the Lord healed, or the Lord answered, the Lord restored. For somebody, it might be the Lord opened a door. Regardless, the Lord proved himself faithful. The Lord made a way when there seemed to be no way. It's the Lord who enables. Yahweh Yetin. So whatever you're facing today, I want you to hear this. Our God is able. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says it this way. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. He is able. God can. And now I know most all of us at some point would come up with this. Well, okay, if he can, then why didn't he? We start to wonder, you know, if he can do it, then why hasn't he? If God is able, then why am I sitting here waiting for him to do something? Which is similar to what Ruth would have been thinking in chapter 1. As she gets into this myth, I mean, because think about it. It wasn't her plan for her father-in-law or her husband to die. That wasn't part of the plan. So what she ends up doing is turning to God and is extremely loyal to Naomi. She declares, wherever you go, I will go. Where, you know, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. And then she starts to head to Bethlehem, and her sister-in-law, who she thought was with her, abandons her too. She leaves and goes back to Moab. And so this woman who's broke goes and works early in the morning till late at night. She's gleaning in the fields, just trying to have enough food in order to survive. And she meets this guy who seems to be interested in her. And then he's gone. And she may have very well declared several times in the midst of all this, God, where are you? I thought you sent Boaz. I thought he was maybe going to be the one. And yet here I am waiting. Where are you, God? Why didn't you do what I thought you were going to do? And maybe you're asking, why didn't you, God, why didn't you heal the person that I wanted you to heal when I prayed? Why didn't you save my marriage? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you come through in the way that I thought you would come through? Where are you, God? And you're waiting, and you're stuck in chapter 2 or 3. And here's the thing, while you're waiting, remember that God is still working. Even though you may not see it, doesn't mean that he's not active. And what I love about Ruth is she kept her faith, and she didn't let the current situation or circumstances define her view of God. She just kept on trusting, kept on plugging away. Why? Because Yahweh Yetin, God is able. And he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than you can ask, think, or imagine. Verse 14, the women say to Naomi, praise be the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. Notice they didn't say this to Ruth, they said this to Naomi. And think about this. Notice why they're worshiping God. It isn't because Boaz is financially successful. It wasn't because there was a promotion. It wasn't that they finally got to go on a dream vacation. It's just simply that God was providing a family legacy, or at least the possibility of a family legacy. He gave Naomi and Ruth life as he provided for them. Verse 15, may he restore your youth. Again, they're talking to Naomi. And care for you in your old age, for he is the son of your daughter-in-law who loves you and has been better to you than 7 sons. They're celebrating God's blessings. Even if all that Naomi had gone through wasn't in her plan, she never planned to leave Bethlehem to go to Moab. She followed her husband. She never planned for her husband to die, leaving her a widow and destitute. That wasn't her plan. But God was faithful through the process, and God had a better plan. Some of you right now are in a place where you didn't plan to be, but I want to remind you of the goodness of God, who is able and whose plan is always better. And so when you don't get the job you want, remind yourself that you might be in chapter 2 or chapter 3, but there's something coming for chapter 4. That you have to remain faithful because God is faithful. That we still live into what God can do. God's plan is better. And so we see the story progress. Verse 17. The women living there said, Naomi has a son. And they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. And then it goes on into this short lineage of who came next. And if you're wondering why that matters, remember that one of the major themes of Ruth is the providence of God, which is best understood when we look backwards of how these things work. And then think about it this way, as followers of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, we look about and we look at his life because everything about our lives is about Jesus, and we seek him first because he is Lord, he is our Savior, he is our Redeemer, he is our King. And as we look at the lineage of Matthew chapter 1, talking about Jesus, who came from Mary and Joseph, who came from Jacob, and I'm not going to read all the names because for one, they're kind of hard sometimes, but if we go back and you look to Jacob and Mathan, and the list goes on to Zadok and Azar and down to Jecona and Josiah and up to Jotham and Uzziah and Rehoboam, and then you get to the names we just saw, Solomon, David, Jesse, and who comes from Obed? He came from Ruth and Boaz. Remember who Ruth was in chapter 1. It's very different in some ways from chapter 4, at least the story surrounding her. She was a Moabite woman. She came from a people that were not the people of God. And this Moabite woman turned to a God of Israel as she leaves Moab and goes to Bethlehem. And I want you to stop for a moment and think about this. Because when she married Boaz, this was her second marriage. That wasn't her original plan. So if you think and you find yourself thinking you're at plan B right now, just remember God's plan is better. If you wake up somewhere in life and didn't want to be here, you're still disappointed and you're hurting and you're waiting, remember, God is still working and has something better. And if you're wondering why all of this matters, why do we read over the story of Ruth? Why does her story really matter to us here in 2023? Why does it matter for us as believers? And yeah, we understand the lineage. But look at the progression of Ruth's identity. And it is strengthened by the presence of God. And watch the way she sees herself as a result. And this is really good because the gospel is throughout this story. Even when it's not said, here's the gospel, it's throughout this story. Who is Ruth? She is a foreigner. And look at the word that's there, nonchiria. She is a stranger, lost and broken in Moab. She leaves Moab, pursues the one true God in Bethlehem, and suddenly she's starting to see things a little differently, but she's still lower than a servant, a shiphah. She's not worthy. A sinner. And Boaz loves her and sees her, and she starts to see herself as a step up. She calls herself a servant. And he redeems her, and he restores her, and saves her, not as a slave, not as a servant, but as a wife, as a family member. And that's why I want to declare to you, if you are in Christ, this is your story. Because if you've been born again by the grace of Jesus, we need to look at this because this is us. Because at one time in your life, God felt far away and you were hurting and you were broken. You felt like a foreigner. You felt hopeless. But God had something better for you than you could ever imagine. So God sent his son, Jesus, the Lamb of God, who was without sin, who shed his blood and died and rose again so that anybody who calls on him will be saved and transformed. He sent Jesus to love you, to save you, to redeem you. If you want to see how Paul puts it, think about it this way, because it ties exactly into Ruth's story. Don't forget that you Gentiles, this is Ephesians chapter 2, used to be outsiders. You could say foreigners. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You lived in this world without God and without hope, but now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. You're the bride of Christ's church. I want you to hear that. You used to be, but now you are. Your identity's changed. Why? Because the God who is faithful. You're an ambassador of the Most High God. You are the light of the world. You are the child of the living God, a joint heir in the kingdom of Jesus. That's who you are. When you know him, you're no longer stuck in Moab. You find the blessings of God in Bethlehem. And if you're stuck in between, stay faithful. Keep pursuing God, because Yahweh, way at 10, our God is exceedingly able and abundantly more than anything we could ever ask, imagine, according to his power that is work within you. God is able. And while you're waiting, God is still working. There is a chapter 4. Every chapter 1 has the possibility of ending in a chapter 4 when we stay faithful. Our redemption will be glorious one day when Christ enters in. His blessings are real. He's working in all things to bring about good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And one day, you and I are going to look back and we're going to see the providential will of a good God who is with you all the time, even in the days when you were struggling, even in the midst of this moment while we wait, because Christ laid it on the line for each and every one of us. I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward. We're going to participate in communion today together. And I ask you to hold the elements as you take them. We celebrate an open communion where anybody who calls Jesus and knows Jesus as their Savior is able to participate. And so take those elements, hold them, and we will take them together today. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, as we take the time to remember your faithfulness, remind us once again that you're still moving, that your way is better than the ways of this world, that you died on the cross for us, that all we have to do is put our faith in you, and we trust in you, Lord, and we thank you. In your name we pray, amen.